Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, The Bulletin. We've been reading different sections from this one, and it's about your money, living well for less. Finding bargains in a snap. New visual research tools make it easier to shop and save money. An annoying shopping problem, especially during the holidays, is knowing what you want to buy but not being able to find it. Fortunately, there's an easy solution, a visual search. You start a visual search with a photo instead of typing descriptive words into the search bar. You can use photos you take with your smartphone or pictures you grab off the internet. The search results you'll get will be a set of images similar to the one you entered, not a list of links. You can click on the different product images to shop around. With a little practice, visual search can make shopping easier and save you money. Here are five tricks made possible by visual search, available mostly on mobile phone apps. Along with the apps mentioned below, Home Depot, House for home goods, and ASOS Fashion Deals also have good visual research tools. Find an older item. Google Lens, the Google app's visual search tool, and eBay's app are great for these kind of searches, especially when it comes to antiques and items with detailed designs. For example, searching with a photo of a dish from my grandma's china set provided a place where I could find a replacement for a broken dish. Tip: if the first app you use isn't helpful, try another. The more apps you use, the more chances you have for a successful search. Locate a specific model. Amazon Lens found the exact sneakers I wanted. To use it, I click on the camera icon in the Amazon app's search bar and take a picture of a product. Tip: to help pinpoint your search, some apps let you enter keywords next to your search bar image. Entering a brand name on Amazon's app weeded out look-alike shoes. Score designer goods for less. Poshmark, a leading mobile app for pre-owned clothing and accessories, is great at turning up bargains. Using its Posh Lens and a picture of a $78 bargain designer bag from TJ Maxx, I turned up a pretty good match for just $22. Tip: study all of a listing's product images to verify the item has all of the details that you want. Track down handsome handmade items and artwork. Etsy, Google, and eBay excel at this kind of search. When I searched for a companion to an old metal pig figurine I bought years ago at a flea market, the exact item popped up on all three apps. Tip: on the eBay app, tap the camera icon in the search bar, take a picture, and click Use Photo when you're done. To refine your search, you can filter results by new or used, item location, price, and many other details. Compare prices. Visual searches with Google Lens, eBay, Amazon Lens, and Posh Lens can help confirm that you didn't miss any bargains. Tip: make sure you're comparing apples to apples. Items that look similar may not be the same, and one might be cheap for a reason. Now, under 99 Great Ways to Save, Holiday Tech. Bundle at big box stores. Warehouse stores such as Costco, Sam's Club, and BJ's Wholesale Club offer more value on electronic purchases by bundling multiple items together. For example, you might get free headphones along with a smartphone or extra cameras to go with a video doorbell. Know your price matching policies. Some retailers, including Target, Kohl's, and Best Buy, have price matching policies in which they will match a competitor's lower price or give you the difference in price if a product goes on sale a few days after you've purchased it. There are restrictions to the policies, such as excluding sales events, so make sure you read the fine print. hold out for gaming discounts. Like other toys, gaming consoles and video games tend to sell at greater discounts as the holidays approach. The longer you wait, the better price you may get. But selection and availability may diminish later in the month. Go for the last generation device. Apple recently introduced its iPhone 15 and Google its Pixel 8. That means a decreased demand for the iPhone 14 and Pixel 7. So many retailers have dropped prices on those phones. Consider refurbished. You can save even more on late generation phones or other devices by purchasing certified refurbished products. Many large online retailers like Amazon, Best Buy, and Apple sell secondhand phones that have gone through a testing and repair process. Amazon and Best Buy provide a 90-day warranty on such products, while Apple's lasts for a full year. And skip the extended warranty. Many retailers will try to sell you an extended warranty with electronics purchases, but it's rarely worth it, and you might already have an extended warranty through your credit card. Now, from the same source, let's look at FraudWatch. When fraud hits again and again, rebound scams target recent crime subjects. Famous for her sparkly gowns and sharp tongue, Jen Shaw, a star on the Bravo reality TV show The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, had a hidden side hustle. She ripped off thousands of people, many of them older, reportedly for up to $100,000 each, in a telemarketing scam. She then raked in extra cash selling lists of her victims to other scammers. She was sentenced this year to 6.5 years in prison and ordered to pay $6.6 million in restitution. Neither of the crime tactics Shaw used is unusual. Rebound scams that specifically target people recently cheated, often older, lower income, and not always aware they were ripped off the first time, are a common danger, fraud analysts warn. The scammer's top tool, lead lists of victims that are carefully updated, reused, and sometimes sold. Crime syndicates use customer relationship management systems just like a legitimate business does, says elder fraud researcher Marty Diliana, an assistant professor at the University of Minnesota who's studying four large victim list databases seized from psychic sweepstakes and lottery scams by the U.S. Postal Investigation Service. Like any business, they keep track. How they do that can vary. A list could be a big database or a sheet of scratch paper, says Amy Nofzinger, director of victim support for AARP's FraudWatch network. Typically, they claim victims' phone numbers, addresses, bank accounts, information, and personal facts a scammer can use to build a relationship. Like that Mr. X lives alone or has a white dog. These lists are very valuable. Scammers have gotten killed over them. The lead list Dilemma is analyzing contain names and addresses of 1.3 million U.S. residents who together lost $347 million to mail scams over 20 years. Her research team has discovered that 62% of those on the lists were scammed more than once, and some more than 20 times. For those folks, the average number of times scammed was 59, Dilemma says. Most of the money they lost to scammers was in small increments of $20 to $40. But if you're scammed 50 times, that could be $1,600, she says. Odds of being hit in a rebound scam were highest for those 60 and older. Rebound scam targets had a slightly lower income and reported larger losses than those scammed just once, a new study of 664 fraud reports from the National Crime Victimization Survey shows. It could be that those individuals feel more financial strain from the first victimization and are more likely to attempt to recoup the money through risky avenues, said lead study author Jamie Snyder, an associate professor at the University of Wyoming. Once you're on a lead list, you can't really do anything to get your name taken off, DeLiema says. But taking these steps can help you avoid becoming a repeat scam victim. So here we go. Tell a loved one. After an 86-year-old Brooklyn man lost $9,500 in a notorious grandparent scam last year, scammers asked for bail money, claiming his grandson caused a car accident. He said no when new scammers called the next day, promising to get his money back for a fee. The man had talked with his family after the first scam and realized he had been cheated. Turns out this is a powerful way to protect yourself, Snyder says. People who would let family members know they had been scammed were 50% less likely to report repeat scams in Snyder's study. Sharing the news may help your relatives recognize a sign of a scam and take steps to protect you, she says. Then don't respond to phone calls or text messages from unknown numbers. If you get a call or a text out of the blue trying to sell you something, ignore it and delete it, said Will Maxson, Assistant Director of Federal Trade Commission's Division of Marketing Practices. Inundated with calls and texts, Maxson says this happens to many who were scammed. He suggests blocking calls. As a last resort, consider changing your phone number. Another solution, take scam prevention seriously. Some repeat victims may not have realized they were scammed the first time, Snyder says. So know the signs. Don't respond to unsolicited email offers, suggests Melanie McGovern, spokesperson for the International Association of Better Business Bureaus. Don't give your credit card, bank account, or Social Security numbers out over the phone. Legitimate businesses or government offices never ask for such information by phone. McGovern notes, say no to anyone who wants to do any transaction via a gift card, cryptocurrency, or by sending money through a financial transfer app to someone you don't know. And finally, be alert to recovery scams. If someone calls you promising they can track down and recover money you lost recently in a scam, hang up. These calls often come from people impersonating consumer advocates or law enforcement. Typically, they will ask for a payment up front, then they disappear, Nofsinger says. The author of this piece was Sari Horar, who's a contributing editor at AARP who writes frequently about health issues and fraud. Now, here's an article under the heading of Your Life, and it's a bit out of season, but who cares? It's a good article. The Tree of Life. Ornaments are more than holiday decorations. They are an annual reminder of the people and moments we cherish. And actually, I think we all have ornaments that we use throughout the year in different ways. My daughter, M.E., and I have many Christmas traditions. One is that every year I wrench my back lugging a 7-foot Douglas fir into the living room. Another is that she spends several frustrating hours untangling and testing the lights, many of which have inexplicably stopped working since last used. But our greatest tradition is decorating the tree with my collection of ornaments. And so it occurs to me I have two family trees. One is on Ancestry.com, where I can trace my forebears back over several generations. The other is my Christmas tree, where I can trace back important people and events simply by looking at the ornaments. I've spent a lifetime collecting. This is true of many families, I'm sure. Our ornaments are more than decorations. They are an annual reminder of lives well lived. So let's take a look. The most prized ornaments are those that were handmade by family members or friends. I have a brown wooden silhouette of a moose made for me by Andrea, a lifelong friend, now gone. A notorious punster, Andrea wrote 1986 X-Moose on the back of her distinctive lettering, and it never fails to make me smile. I have two snowmen ornaments constructed from white styrofoam balls and red wool. Not the finest craftsmanship. When my aunt, Alba, made them for me back in the early 80s, I was a bit embarrassed to display them. That was then. Now I place them prominently and am immediately flooded with warm memories of my late aunt, who was like a second mother to me. Next are the milestone ornaments I can trace the arc of M.E.'s life in just three. A baby's first Christmas ornament, commemorating her birth 30 years ago. A Jewish star constructed by M.E. with silver-plated popsicle sticks in second grade. A bit of an odd project, considering that she attended a Catholic school. And a small blue and white porcelain windmill, which M.E. brought back from a college semester abroad in Amsterdam. That one cost me roughly $27,000. Then there's a trove of folk art ornaments, the fruits of decades scouring flea markets and craft fairs. These include one that celebrate Yankee Doodle, Barney and Stanley, three tuxedo cats I've owned over the years. More recently, additions, all gifts from my girlfriend, Michelle, speak to our retirement life together. A carved bear from our fall trip to the Berkshires, a figurine of Snoopy grilling hamburgers, our favorite meal, and an incredibly realistic-looking Cosmo, our preferred cocktail to wash down the burgers. One day, M.E. will inherit them all, but what I fear is that the stories attached to these ornaments, stories that give them their context and special meaning, will be lost once I'm gone. They'll just be ornaments. Sadly, there's no place in a will to bequeath your memories, which is why every year, though she's heard them all before, I retell M.E. my ornament stories. My hope is that one day she'll tell them to her children as they decorate their tree. Maybe they'll learn a bit about me and the life I lived and the experiences I had. And maybe it will inspire them to curate their own collections so their tree will reflect the moments and people in their lives. And this was by John Ficarra, who is the former editor of Mad Magazine. Now, also from AARP The Bulletin, how about a Q&A with John Lydon? You couldn't write the songs I do if you didn't care. John Lydon, 67, was the singer in the Sex Pistols as Johnny Rotten, and since 1978 has led Public Image Limited. Recently, he was full-time caregiver for his wife, Nora Forster, who had dementia and died in April at the age of 80. What attracted you to Nora? Both of us are the kind of people that don't let others tell us what to do and think. The longevity of our existence together proves the point, 45 years plus. It seems like it whizzed by so wonderfully. What was Nora like? Outgoing, highly entertaining, wonderful sense of humor. She used to race cars when she was young, which was a major problem for her family because in Deutschland, that kind of female independence was looked down upon. She broke every rule in the book and dressed so gorgeous like she was in a film noir. She was physically very assured of herself and mentally astute. I'm an introvert who escapes from his self-inflicted prison from time to time with a vengeance. They say opposites attract. When was she diagnosed? About 6 years back. Before then, I didn't know what was going on. What do you mean you didn't know where the car keys are? We were driving alongside the highway and she stopped dead in the middle of it because she didn't know where she was. I was screaming, a lorry truck could rear end us at any moment. I had to realize there was a problem here that I had no answers for. I took her to UCLA Health because they have an Alzheimer's center. And when we knew that slowly but surely it was going to get worse, and it did. How did you remain positive even as she declined? When I was young, I had meningitis, and I lost my memory for 4 years. That gave me the tools to be able to handle what she was going through. I recognized those moments in her eyes when she was baffled and nothing made sense. What did you do? I found a great way of getting her out of these things, not by asking questions, but through humor. I would say, "Oh, your nose is big," and she would burst out laughing. It changed the subject and got her back to where she needed to be. We spent several years laughing at the world together. We would sit and watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and she would laugh at their outfits and the preposterousness of their behavior. It thrilled her. Of course, it reached its inevitable conclusion, but the last several years were probably the most fantastic experience that both of us could have had. Sometimes in advanced stages, patients can become content. Did you see that in Nora? Yeah. Nora died happy, I've got to say. She knew I loved her. She never forgot my name, by the way, even though the powers that be all promised me that would not be the case. Were you able to find time for yourself while caring for Nora? It was exhausting, yeah. But so what? We hired help to come in 2 days a week. Nora got friendly with some of them, and they could do womanly things together, which is lacking in me. I can't do her makeup. She'd end up looking like Alice Cooper. For people who view you as an angry punk rocker, the role of caretaker might be surprising. You couldn't write the songs I do if you didn't care. I've never based my music on fantasy. It's always based on an experience. It was difficult to watch Nora's eyes fade when she died. I knew she was thinking of me in those last few seconds. A fantastic gift, and sad as well. I'd rather have lived the life we led than not have had that in my existence at all. Are any of the songs on Public Image Limited's new album, End of World, about Nora? Yes. Hawaii is my love song to her. The refrain in the song, Aloha, means hello and goodbye. She knew what the song was, but it kind of surprised her. The sadness of her demise. It sounds like Nora would not have wanted you to write a maudlin song about her. Absolutely not. She'd have been horrified. Horrified. And on a completely different subject, how about a quick question for Medicare Made Easy? My doctor ordered routine blood work and I got a bill. Doesn't Medicare cover this? Medicare covers blood work and other lab tests when a doctor is trying to diagnose or treat a specific illness or injury. But while the program has the authority to cover some preventive care services, such as mammograms and colorectal cancer screenings, original Medicare hasn't been authorized to pay for routine blood work. That's why you got the bill. Note that some Medicare Advantage MA plans do cover routine blood work as an extra benefit. Ask your insurer to find out. And when can I make changes to my Medicare insurance choices? The primary time is during each year's open enrollment period, October 15th to December 7th. If an original Medicare, you can change your Part D prescription drug plan. If an original Medicare, you can switch to a Medicare Advantage plan. Or in an MA plan, you can switch to another MA plan or to original Medicare. For people in an MA plan, there's a second open enrollment, January 1st to March 31st. During this time, you can switch to a different MA plan or move to original Medicare. Outside these time windows, you can change a Medicare plan only if you have a life-changing event, for instance, if you've moved. If your plan is no longer available, or if your financial situation has changed and you now qualify for Medicaid or other financial help. The story is different for supplemental or Medigap policies. They're not subject to any open enrollment periods, so they can be purchased any time of the year. But that's only if you are able. Insurers in most states can charge you more or deny you coverage if you apply outside your initial open enrollment period. Now, to finish up our time, let's look at a little bit of information under Witty and Wise. This is from Jeremy Renner, 53, who was injured in a snowplow accident a year ago. He's an actor. I've lost a lot of flesh and bone, but I've been refueled and refilled with love and titanium. And then from singer Tanya Tucker, who's 65, my bad reputation's made me a damn good living. And from F. Murray Abraham, 84, who's an actor, I really believe in the dignity of acting. My dream is to die on stage. And finally, for a few little-known facts about your brain, this is up to number 26. Did you know that memories are more likely to stick if they combine information and emotion? 27. Did you know that treatments to lift depression may also improve your memory? 28. Did you know the rhythm of poems and nursery rhymes aids language development in infant brains? 29. Did you know that Coco the gorilla used sign language to make sentences more than 8 words long? Did you know that stuttering can be alleviated by singing or speaking in unison with others? Did you know that about 2/3 of a population will have an IQ score between 85 and 115? And let's see, I think we have time for one more here. 32. Did you know that aging eyes have trouble distinguishing among shades of blue as well as shades of green? Oh, and we can do a few more. Number 33. Did you know only a tiny region in the center of the eye can see sharply? Did you know the eye contains some 125 million rods, but only about 6.5 million cones? Number 35. Did you know that the brain can signal the ear to reduce the reaction to loud sounds? And smells such as ammonia trigger pain receptors in the nose. And people with associative visual agnosia cannot recognize objects. Did you know that haptic touch refers to handling objects to sense their tactile qualities? Well, folks, we have reached the end of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.